Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the number one best-selling author in the world, Mr. Matt's Best.
I couldn't hear a ham horn, but I felt like there was.
Oh, there is. You know there's a fucking ham horn in here, my dude.
Of course. You got to come in strong. You know, I feel like I'm a guest on the show now, which is a weird vibe, but I kind of like it, you
that,
know?
That is not true, no. Matt. There is always a seat for you whenever you want to give up, a multi-million dollar coffee company that doesn't have a board of directors. Come on back.
Well, that's why I'm here, because I love you.
I think still you should just find somebody on the street and say, here are all my shares in Black Rifle. And because what I'm really meant to do is be on a podcast with my best friends forever.
Right. And I totally agree with that. And the one problem is the only reason I'm on the board of directors is because I have high cheekbones. I literally contribute nothing intellectually or business. So wise.
No, it's funny though. Somebody said, look, Matt's the face of the brand. I get it. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And you should see what he does on the weekends in a fucking 4x4. Like, you got to keep that face good, my man.
Hey, I traded in my Razor, so I don't have that one anymore. I'm going to go get a 4-seater. I'm going to dad it down a little bit after, driving too fast in that thing.
So the Razor's gone. It's like we're out of there with the Razor?
Yeah, I traded it in. I'm going to get like a 4-seater so I can go down, take the pups down to the river and, play some music. It's a little more chill. I don't need a race car.
Good, because I want you to look at Kevin Hart's crash photos when we get off this podcast. And then you tell me how important it is to keep it fresh.
Not to get serious right off the gate, but there's two tragedies that have happened in the last couple months. A buddy of mine here that lives in town, one of his business partners or employees killed himself on a Razor. And then my dad's best friend, his son was, I think, 37, died 2 weeks ago and flipped a Razor and killed himself. So I'm just like, ooh, it only takes one. So it really unfortunate for them and their families, and I wish them the best. But yeah, I don't really want to be one of the statistics.
Yeah,
I know me.
Shit, man. Well, speaking of statistics, you are number one in the world. Thank you for my service is number one, my man.
Crazy shit, right? Fucking crazy shit.
Really crazy. And look, we wanted to chat about it today. You know, not only did you want to thank the Drinking Bros community and all the listeners and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
But we also kind of wanted to explain what happened. We briefly explained it on the news show on Thursday because it was odd, right? New York Times bestseller list came out first and you were number five. And I had told you, it was like, I don't think that's right, man. Just based on the sales and the way things were tracking on Amazon, I was like, I could maybe see that we were number two.
And yeah, then we were thinking that number one was going to be somewhere around 30,000, and that's right where you were.
Yeah.
So it was like, then you showed up at 28 and change. It's like, oh yeah, he's number one for sure. Maybe number two, but not number five. There's no fucking way.
Well, not to be Ross Adamus here, but I did call that on the phone. I said, I think we're going to be four, and politically infused, whatever. I knew that we weren't going to beat Michelle Obama on the New York Times. And then Educated is just like crushing the game right now. Even their sales aren't, but for whatever reason. So I was like, we'll probably sit around four just based off of politics. But five hit, and I'm not greedy, man. I'm so thankful to be a New York Times bestseller. I'm probably the dumbest guy to be on there. And really, the Drinking Bros, they contributed so much to the success of this book as far as sharing and tagging and just supporting it from day one. I mean, 3 fucking years ago. So no qualms about that whatsoever. It's pretty rad to have the new books getting printed with New York Times bestseller. But yes, the process in which that they rank things are hyper subjective, and obviously based off of the sales velocities, and then you kind of combine them and quantify them, you realize we crushed everybody by like threefold.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So I'm curious to see what next week lands, like if we'll even be on the list, because sales are keeping decent, but all those pre-sales contribute to that first week release, and they do rank those a little bit lower, I heard. And who knows, man, it is what it is, but at least they let us on the list. I mean, that would have been the world's most hilarious transgression if they didn't even put us on the fucking list.
Yeah, and the reason I talked about it on Thursday's show is everybody, I feel like everybody was with us. Like, this felt like a group effort, right? All the listeners, everybody in the Drinking Bros community, everybody was pushing to get you to number one. And the reason I said something was I wanted to let the audience know that you did it. You actually did make it number one.
They did. And I can't, I'm so humbled and thankful for it. And I'm not just trying to be that guy, but seriously, like it wouldn't have never happened. You know, my social media only goes so far, and if people aren't personally invested in the project and sharing it, and then let alone that first release day, people were charging through the book the first day and promoting it and posting it everywhere and saying like, this is a 10 out of 10 read. So dude, to you guys, thank you so fucking much. You know, we don't get anything extra for being a New York Times bestseller list, but we do get that accolade for the rest of our lives. So that's pretty rad. And thank you so much.
Yeah. And I do want to point that out. I'm glad you brought that up, because financially we don't get anything for being on the New York Times bestseller list. We just wanted to have that on our gravestone, essentially, forever. So that way, you know, when the plane goes down, as we try to get out of Dorian, whatever the fuck's going to happen in a couple of days, at least if I die with Dan, Dan will be like, and, you know, 186 passengers, where it'll be like New York Times bestseller died. Yeah. And then just
it'll be like Dan Hall. Yeah. Dan died. Who's Dan? But then it'll be like Ross Patterson, New York Times.
New York Times bestselling author. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll put you at like number one or two importance.
New
on
York Times
list.
Bestseller and like, Caitlyn Jenner lookalike Ross Patterson died this afternoon.
Which speaking about Caitlyn Jenner, man, I'll say it on here. Did not respond to my cameo. So today I think is the last day. What is it? The third today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's the last day. So if people read the book in the dedication, I dedicated it to my mom. And it was a joke that went forever, because I wrote that with Niels, and because I was sitting there like, okay, I want to dedicate the book to my mom. I love my mom. She's freaking awesome and always supported me, but I am kind of crazy. And, you know, it's this kind of childhood joke that she always wanted a daughter. And then she got, you know, I'm her third boy. And so we made a joke about Bruce Jenner not transitioning until his late 60s. So I thought it'd be hilarious to hire Caitlyn Jenner on Cameo and give me a shout out for the book. And needless to say, I'm sure whoever their manager is Googled my name and was like, nope. So it was worth a shot, because I was going to like FaceTime it and edit it in this video, but whatever.
Yeah. The funny thing is about the dedication is you waited till like the very last second to write that. Why was that? I knew you wanted to have it for your mom, but you didn't know whether to take a serious or a comedic tone.
No, I wanted it to be funny, because it really sets the precedence for what the book's going to be like. Okay, here's a thoughtful message to this mother with sarcasm. And, you know, that's the whole book. So, you know, I did a lot of stuff last minute on that thing. I mean, we changed the title. They're like, you can't change the title of this book. And we did it fucking like 2 weeks before the fucking manuscript was locked. And then the cover art was like last minute after fucking 600 iterations that we did. So, yeah.
Yeah,
that's me though. Wait till you got to get, you know, the content is king. You got to make sure it's good.
Of course, of course. And you know, you and I had done a show, I think 2 weeks before it came out, or maybe the week before it came out. We had numerous amounts of drinks, and we were talking about.
I was drunk on that show. Yeah, I mean, I'm having a little whiskey right now because it's my day off ish. But you know.
Yeah, but you and I were talking. And you were like, "Man, what are you most nervous about?" And I was like, "This just being well received and it doing well." Because, you know, the biggest fear was you spend 3 years of your life on something and then it does nothing, you know? It makes, you know, like four copies sold.
I'm just looking at the fucking bestseller list right now. Super interesting. So this is on New York Times homepage on their bestseller for hardcover nonfiction. And the top 10 books, every single one of them has a link that says read review, which means somebody from New York Times probably wrote a review of it.
Yep.
Except for Matt Best's book and Mark Levin, who is a conservative political commentator.
Really?
Yep. Interesting.
Every other one.
That is interesting. The other one I found interesting that I said on the show on Thursday was your book was also the only book to not receive a review from a major publication. Usually Washington Post or USA Today or somebody reviews the book and they put out a review of it the same way they would with a movie. And with a book of your size, of how many it sold, and with it being number one, because it did get number one, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Publishers Weekly, like three other lists. I'm still surprised there is no review of the book, like an actual review.
I was waiting for it because I've seen a couple people in our community and they've been super supportive and that's great. But I always know that there's going to probably be like a mild hit article on me just because who I am. Like I'm a gun-toting, you know, toxic masculinity motherfucker. So I was like waiting for it to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but we still got time. I'm sure there's going to be something out there like, first and foremost, want to thank Matt for his service.
Yeah.
But, and, which is fine. I don't know if you guys saw the review calling me a sociopath. I thought I fucking was laughing my ass off reading that one. Like, compelling, well-written book, but it gives you the insight to what a sociopath is like. I'm like, fuck off. I liked it, though. I was like, all right, what are you supposed to do in war, man? Like, that's the reason I wrote the book. Like, it ain't fucking romantic. It's fucking disgusting, and it's fucking dark. Like, it's war. You're taking human lives. Like, fuck.
Yeah, look, you're always going to get some fucking asshole out there who's got their own opinion of your life, you know?
I was not mad about it. I just thought it was hilarious that they were like, this guy needs to be in a mental institution. I was like, well, that might be right, but, you know.
Well, look.
But I guarantee I'm nicer than that motherfucker. Like, if they meet and there's an old lady that needs a helping hand across the street, I'll fucking do it and they wouldn't. I guarantee that.
Of course. Of course. But look, if it makes the list again, there's going to be no choice. Somebody's going to have to cover this book, I would think.
You would think, but we've thought a lot and been really wrong, so it's okay. It's cool, man. I'm just stoked for it to be out, dude. Like, you know, I took a little celebratory weekday off yesterday, and I went and shot Dove for opening season with my father, so I got to hang out with my dad and shoot shotgun. So, hey, man, the world's right. It's good.
That's awesome, man. So how does it feel that your life story is number one in the entire world? That's got to be pretty surreal.
It's like when you turn 30 or like 50, I imagine it feels like the same as yesterday. I don't give a fuck about all that stuff. Really, the only thing I truly cared about was the content being well received in the community that I care about. And thus far, I've seen just raving reviews, and the feedback on my Instagram still is just phenomenal. And that's just rad. That puts me at ease. Like, that's what I was worried about, not what some fucking prick progressive thinks about his fucking sitting on a soapbox in New York, you know?
It is funny, though, to disrupt all that shit, to be honest. And it's another notch on the
drinking bros, the, yeah, like, fucking accolades. It really is.
I mean, like, a fucking $100 million coffee company, a podcast that got 7 million downloads last month. Everything else, like Jared's fucking
the group, movie, Range 15, the movie, Drinking Bros Live,
Drinking Bros group that has 105,000 people in now.
Lead Slingers Whiskey.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. I mean,
Dan, we're essentially an insurgency if you think about it. You have like the nation that everybody's like, this is it, liberal media. And then we just come in and like, well, yeah, you can be liberal, conservative, left, right, brown, pink, yellow, but we just, as long as you're fucking pro-America, you can be part of the team, dude.
Yeah, we don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, nobody gives a shit. But somebody sat me down the other day. They were like, man, if you think about all of you guys combined, right, with essentially the six of us, including Rocco, Range 15, that raised it broke a record for.
It was the highest grossing independent film of 2016.
2016.
And it broke a record for the crowdfunding.
Yeah, for the crowdfunding in a day. It raised all that money in a day. You've had a number one best-selling book in the world. Range 15 ended up being number one on Amazon, number two on iTunes. Mm-hmm. You guys have created a coffee company that's the number one e-commerce coffee company in the world.
Let's talk about that, Ross. I am somewhat thankful that it didn't, or book didn't hit number two in the bestseller, because I was like, man, the meme warriors are going to come out of the goddamn second best, dude. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
man,
I think
here
you may
comes.
Have had to officially change your name at that point.
Yeah.
I fucking probably would have. I was like, well, there's number five, you know, that I've been second in, but that's all right.
Yeah, no, look, you were number one.
You ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, look, number one in the rest of the world, and then in actual sales and all that shit. And everybody's got the numbers in every publication now, so it can't be denied you were one. You were definitely not second. But you've got the number one e-commerce coffee company in the world. Rocco is on the Mayans. I mean, fuck, season two starts tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all of this shit that has come off of this podcast and relationship over the years. Like, it's pretty fucking incredible, like, to sit back and think about it.
Yeah, it's fun, man. I mean, that's what my best advice to people when they ask about success is, just surround yourself by people that are motivated, hardworking people that don't fall into the bullshit tub of drama. Like, you just sort fucking issues that you have and you move forward and you keep working. And it's, I think, to showcase that, like, we're all not the most world's intelligent people. We just are hardworking fucking people that wake up every morning like it's Monday, and we party every night like it's Saturday usually. And
yeah,
fucking that has somehow created a bunch of success. And yeah, hey, like, I think anybody can achieve that. And I hope that's the kind of the undertone and the inspirational message in all of this, is like, you can fucking do it. Like, if I can be a bestseller and I'm a fucking idiot, you can do whatever your life's goals are.
I like the idea that it's an insurgency too, because it's not just the six of us or whomever else we've worked with. It's like the 100 fucking thousand people in the group. It's the fucking millions
of
people
it's everybody, dude. It's like the Donnie O'Malley's and Vet TV who are making some of the most gnarly fucking edgy macabre content out there. But there's a place for that. There's people that absolutely love that content, and everybody else in the world will say, you can't fucking make that. I'm like, bro, I mean, if that's helping veterans fucking transition and get past their own shit, like, Mission success, dude. Like, disruptive intent. Let's fucking go. Let's be an insurgency.
Yeah, and Derek Wida, man. Dude, his like, all of his shit is fucking hilarious and edgy. I just sat down and watched his cooking series with my wife. That's, it's my favorite.
Biggest crush on Derek. Biggest crush on Derek.
It's my favorite. And the reason why I bring him up is we love Derek more than life itself. He flew out to come and surprise you at a signing.
I think what people don't know about Derek, because he always comes off as this, like, not arrogant, but like very fuck you motherfucker on social. But he's like one of the sweetest men I've ever met in my whole entire life. And when he came out and surprised me at the Fort Hood signing, he walks up and immediately people are like, oh my God, Derek Wida, can I get a photo signature? And Derek looks at me and goes, hey man, I can go like walk that way because I don't want it. This is your day. I want your day to be okay. I'm like,
that's
what?
Not, that's
no,
not a
motherfucker.
Bad impression
like,
of Derek, actually.
Yeah.
What's it?
That was a pretty good impression of Derek, actually.
No, but then he, like, it was awesome. I was like, dude, yeah, sign fucking books. So people got, like, he was signing all, like, the pictures of us hanging off the Little Bird from years back. And I was like, that's awesome, man. I love Derek.
Yeah, that was really cool to see, man.
And if you want, I'm going to give a shameless plug for Derek. Check out his social. It's Derek Wida everywhere. But it's free, and you can go on. He does personal, like, fitness stuff. I think he's got quite a few thousand members, and he does training regimens for everybody. So
yeah, he's like, got a private Facebook group now that does specifically, like, he's laying out fucking training programs for people and shit like that. He answers all your questions and stuff. I don't know the name. Actually, let me find it out right quick.
Yeah. Look up the name of it so we can tell the audience. I saw him talking about it on Instagram. It looks awesome.
Yeah. It's a great resource. Because I know a lot of people are like, well, how do you work out? What's your regimen? Like, and Derek, like, he goes from like being a fucking thick power lifter to a ripped fucking bodybuilder in like 8 weeks because the dude just knows how to do it. So check it out.
It's called the Wida Group.
Wida Group.
There's 24,000 people in there.
Holy shit.
Already? Yeah. Yep. And he started it like a couple months ago, I think. Maybe.
God damn it,
I don't even
man.
Know.
My man.
He's jacked, man. I saw the picture of him yesterday. It is fucking insane how jacked that guy is right now.
I do want to apologize to Derek because we played these fucking like hipster fucks, and they were really nice in Austin after the signing in Giant Jenga. And dude, I've never seen a whole entire bar. There was like club music on. It was the hotel bar, and we didn't know, but we're down there playing Jenga. The whole entire bar was staring at us. We're standing on like the benches to get to the top, and I lost, which was unlike me. But it was like fucking 7 feet tall. I have a fucking photo of it. It was hilarious, but good times.
That's awesome. And he won.
No. Derek and I were on a team and I let him down.
But
I did the whole like manly thing. Like, fuck you. My wife's hotter and I'll beat your ass when I walk. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah. No, you walked away. There's nothing like playing hipsters in Jenga and large man's
they
Jenga.
They get a little extra balance out of their mustache, I think.
They do.
That's all they do. They drink craft beer and play Jenga and fucking cornhole. So I'm like, let's do like a competitive sport that requires athleticism.
Dude, that's what happened to me. I'm at a craft beer place the other night. I was with Dan. You want to talk about letting a team down? I got beat by a hippie and his lady, because I had Dan as my teammate in cornhole, who's absolutely horrible at that game and probably most sports. So
I will dominate you in all sports except for stupid fucking frat boy bar sports.
No, not in a million years. Yep. So I grabbed this guy, Matt, and because I was pissed off about it. You and I get the same level of angry about losing anything. And so I grabbed this guy and I just said, hey, man, how about you and I go one-on-one and just find out who's the best? You know, because I got saddled with a teammate that really brung me down. And he goes, oh, you want to play for a beer? Like, that was the most glorious prize of all time. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, we'll play for a fucking beer. And then I ended up beating him. And he walks over to me real solemnly. And he's like, what kind of beer do you want? And I was like, you know what, man? I didn't even want the fucking beer. I just wanted to let you know that I'm better than you. And that was it. And I walked away.
I would have taken the beer. I would have been like, what's the most expensive IPA on the fucking bar list? And let's go. Dude, you know who's a sleeper? My fucking wife, man. Because every time I like reluctantly, and I do that as an act, like, I'll just play with my wife, and you guys can play against us. She'll ring like threes four times in a row with one fucking play. She is on cornhole.
Really?
Savage. Oh, fucking savage.
What was
and
her?
We can't play each other because we'll get a divorce. Yeah, we'll get a divorce.
You got to get some set up in the backyard because we're coming out there.
I have it.
Oh, you do? Dude,
yeah, we'll be there, the 28th through the 30th?
Yeah, we'll be
like
there
that.
in like 3 weeks. So let's
come on down.
Let's do it and go Facebook Live with it and see who the best of the best is. Are you good at it?
You know, I dabble.
Okay, I dabble as well. I dabble as well. So
I dabble in, you know, skee ball too, Ross.
Perhaps we'll put something on it then, my man.
We should. We have to give up the New York Times bestseller author accreditation, whoever. I'm just kidding. Well, those stakes are way too high.
Well, here's the thing. If we called them back, they probably don't even know, you know, the New York Times. Huh? What book? Oh, no. Book? Michelle Obama is still number two with 8,200 copies sold.
Fuck that 30,000.
Yeah, go ahead and take your 30,000 away. We're taking
the audiobook has been crushing it too. That's it's really cool to see. And again, this is just a way of not bragging but saying thank you guys. Was the feedback from the audiobook as far as me narrating it? And there was one really, really nice 5-star in there, and it was like talking about how all authors suck when it comes to narrating it, and they reluctantly bought it, and then were like, holy shit, it's hard for me to listen to, and a couple parts I don't like. Like, I did a Middle Eastern accent at one point. Didn't like that one.
For Ghosh, yeah.
No, I don't mind the Ghosh one. It was, like, doing the call-out stuff in the Bremen Barraza chapter. Like, it didn't fit in the serious tone that I wanted to come across. And I had to turn it off the other day because I've only listened to, like, 4 of the chapters. And I was like, ah. But it seems everybody else loves it. So I'm glad that they can see it in the tone and the feeling and the vibe that we wrote into the stories that I lived. So
yeah, and you crushed it. But I will say this for the audience at home, you know, for Matt that said he didn't like a couple of his line readings for things, they also didn't give you a lot of time. That was the shortest amount of time I've ever seen anybody make someone read a book in. I mean, it was fucking crazy.
Well, and the weird part, too, there were zero pickups. So going into this thing, and we rushed it because we wanted to shop the audiobook or some media, some earned media. But, yeah, they didn't do any pickups because normally, like in a movie, like anybody that's done a film, you go back and you do some, like,
ADR,
you know, ADR yeah. lines, and you read some shit that you fucked up. None. And so I was like, there's no way I nailed everything on the first try. But hey, it's been received so well. Thank you guys so much. Like, that's fucking kick ass.
It has, yeah. And by the way, that guy was right. If you go back and listen to other authors read their own shit, the first one I can remember was Tucker Max. And Tucker just loved the guy, but he definitely should not have read his own book. He should have hired the British guy for that one.
Did I send you that photo? Tucker Max posted on Instagram, or I think Facebook, on someone's post and said he loved the book title. And I was like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Full circle. I remember reading your book back in 2000 and like fucking 7.
Yeah, that was the one that set it off for dudes. And again, on that show that we did a couple weeks ago, that's what we had kind of said of like, I feel like once every decade, there's a book for dudes that absolutely destroys. And I feel like it's yours for this decade. I feel like it was Tucker's for that one where, you know, everybody was reading it, laughing at it and sharing it over and over again. And your audiobook sales have been monstrous. I mean, just absolutely monstrous.
My favorite part in all of this is I've seen so many people like, I haven't read a book in 20 years, but fuck it, I'm reading this one. I'm like, wow, well, I'm glad. Let's get you back into reading. You know, knowledge is king, man.
It is.
Let's go.
It is. Well, you forget how much you miss reading until you read a great book. The problem is...
So fair. Yep.
The problem is most...
Not a lot of great.
No. You know, there's a handful that I can name over the last couple of years where I'm like, ah, I really like this or this or this. But usually, you know, most of publishing is catered toward young adult or for women. So, you know, there's a lot of fucking...
What's the last book you read that was good?
Man, that was really good.
Yeah.
Wash Your Face. I'm kidding. That Rachel Hollis book.
Girl, Wash Your Face.
Girl, yeah. Wash Your Face.
Yeah.
That's no. Rachel Hollis book. No, nope. I bring her up because she knocked me off of the last list. Mm. And it was... that thing was fucking massive and she's already got another one out. The last great book that I have read, me personally... was probably when we were doing research for, I would say it was 13 Hours. I really liked that. It was probably one of the last great ones I got to sit down and read.
Yeah, yeah. About the Benghazi thing, yeah.
Correct. Because
I don't read books. I like, if someone asked who, I was just on a show and they asked me like, what, how often do I read? I'm like, I literally never read books. I should read more, but I do audiobooks. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
my thing.
I'm strictly on Audible 5. Now.
Yeah.
It's the way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because me, and I'm sure you guys do, being so fucking busy in life, like, I don't have 3 hours to focus on one thing. Like, I better be efficient optimizing my life. But, like, if I'm hitting the bag or doing my cardio work, then that's a perfect opportunity to knock out, you know, 2 chapters of an audiobook or podcast. That's, in, like, at least information, I can learn big words, you know?
Yeah, I take that back. There was a guest on named Rizwan Virk. He was an MIT professor who wrote the simulation hypothesis. Yeah. So I read that, and that was really good.
There was no
Audible for that.
Yeah,
but you're right. It's an Audible world right now where everybody's listening to things. And that's the biggest, you know, argument we get about the podcast is like, hey, man, I wish these were longer. Well, now you have a 7.5-hour book of Matt's that you can go and listen to. So if you want the longer version, get the Audible book.
And we're also go ahead, Matt. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I say that I will say the problem with like audiobooks is like once in a while you hear like Calvastavnian, and you're like, what the fuck did that dude just say? You don't even know the word, but like you just pass it. So you're like, I guess I'm not going to know what that sentence put together means. Like at least in a book, you can Google it, you know. But
yeah,
well, the good thing with Audible is they have something called Whisper Sync, so you can buy the digital version of the book,
correct,
and the Audible, and it follows along in both. So if I'm reading it, yeah, it's awesome. If I'm reading it and wherever I stop reading, it'll pick back up in the audiobook and vice versa.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah. Wow. It's rad as fuck.
And the more you know about that, too, is if you buy the Audible, they give you the Kindle version for like $2 extra.
Oh, yeah.
That way you can follow along.
Yep.
Yeah. So that way you're not a full-on dummy. You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you want to be able to. So I used to read. I used to get all of Christopher Hitchens' books on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, he talks like he talked like he's got marbles in his fucking mouth with that thick British accent. I couldn't understand any of it.
Yeah,
but I love his books. So every now and again, I had to go look some shit up. Like, what the fuck did this asshole just say?
Well, you don't have to do that with maths.
No.
Do you guys follow hockey? You guys are sports guys.
Yeah,
You guys, you like the sports. Okay. I have to say this. Went out to Brent Burns' ranch. Plays for the San Jose Sharks.
Yep.
What a fucking phenomenal individual that guy is. I've met him 3 times now, and, you know, we've hung out at our ranch and all that, and he invited me up to his ranch, and his wife made this baller-ass, like, pork and peaches dinner, and, like, we went out and ran night vision and ran around with guns. Like, the guy is so freaking cool, man. So I just want to get a shout to him.
How did that come about?
We're just homies. He lives in Fredericksburg area-ish. Obviously not going to say exactly where he lives, but...
Sure.
It's like an hour-ish from my house. And so he was like, dude, come out for dinner and we'll run around and look at animals. And he's got this epic ranch and his family's phenomenal. So it's super cool.
That's awesome.
Because you know me, I'm a fucking hillbilly. I love that shit.
Yeah, and I'm sure this will open up a lot of doors to meet like really cool, weird, oddly famous people where it's just like, hey, man, you want to just come over and shoot some shit? Because after you put your life story out there, everybody feels like they know you.
I presume. I mean, I don't fucking fall into that celebrity shit. I would say 95% of the celebrities I meet, I can't fucking stand because they're on some pedestal of like, yeah, people just don't know me. I'm an artist. I'm so great. And you're like, go fuck yourself. But then you have a guy like Brent who's been in the NHL for like 15 fucking years and you meet him and you would think he's just like, he's a construction worker. Like he wears like poor man's clothes, like the nicest guy ever. But he is, you know, competitiveness in the NHL is just phenomenal. So those are the people I like that are hyper successful, but then humble, like just normal fucking dudes.
He's a very American Canadian.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
I made that joke to his wife. I was like, what the fuck? He's Canadian and he's like a Texan. I'm like, I told him he's moving to Texas with me. I guess his wife's from like Texas. So
that's hilarious. Look, we as always, Matt, we got some sponsors who put this whole shit wagon on the air. Since we will be out in Bernie, Texas for the opening of Black Rifle, why don't you tell us about your company and what you got going on with it right now?
Yeah, Black Rifle Coffee, the greatest?
Wow, yes.
That was not a real word. I need to read more books, apparently. Like we're No, it's everybody probably knows Black Rifle, but it's the greatest coffee company out there, man. We focus on quality first and then transparent with our brand and mission statement, and we give a fuck ton back to the community, and we're out here just a bunch of knuckle draggers that used to carry a gun for a living trying to pave the way in entrepreneurship and show people that they can be successful in their own right and give you the best cup of coffee ever straight to your door. And the best part about that is the coffee club, as you guys know. Sign up once, you get discounted rates, you get discounted everything from other vendors we love, and first look at all new products. It's a phenomenal program, and I'm on it twice, and I own the goddamn thing. So
yeah, type in the promo code DRINKINBROS20, and a lot of people were angry that they couldn't get the board shorts early when those kept popping up online. It's like, look, man, you got to join the coffee club of the month. You want the cool shit first. you know?
Yeah, because sometimes we run like 500 units of small stuff, and they'll sell out just in the club. So that's why you got to be a club member. You get all the cool shit.
Hells yeah. Hells yeah. Next up, we got GhostBed.com.
Ooh.
Sleep so good, it's scary. People miss your ghost on the show.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
GhostBed.com/drinking bros will give you all your mattress needs.
I will say, I don't even get a scent of this anymore because I don't work for Drinking Bros, but that I have two ghost beds, and they're phenomenal beds, and their pillows are even fucking better.
The best.
Endorsed by me for sure.
Yes, and the best in the biz at GhostBed.com/drinking bros. They have 15% off button at the bottom of the page for anybody who's military or first responder. Click it. That is a fucking huge savings on everything they have there, and that is including the adjustable bases.
Yeah, because beds are fucking expensive.
I know, man. I know. But we got everybody hooked on these. And look, we wouldn't ask you to buy something of this price if it wasn't the best in the fucking business. Go to GhostBed.com/drinking bros today. And go ahead.
You should start a new thing. I'm just interrupting today. You should you should start a campaign called Fuck on the Bed We Fuck On, because I've had a lot of sex on a ghost bed.
Yeah, I like that. Fuck on the Bed We Fuck On.
Right.
Roman ED is also a sponsor, so you can pop a pill and then fuck on the bed we fuck on.
At Ghost, is that a dick pill?
Oh yeah, we got the fucking boner pills out now, brother.
Oh god.
Welcome to the good life. Welcome to the good life. GhostBed.com/drinking bros. As always, 36 months pay as you go program, no interest. No one is doing that except for GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Next up, we've got BoxOfAwesome.com. Have you heard of these guys, Matt?
No, I'm intrigued because I don't know any of these sponsors other than GhostBed, obviously. But
yeah, so
is it just I'm guessing, like, I'm a very intuitive guy. It's a box full of awesome shit.
It is, but it's, you know, that that bespoke company, right? This bespoke, they're like, they've got like the nicest shit in the world, kind of like one of those nice airport stores where you're like, man, I can't really afford anything in there, but it looks fucking awesome. Mm.
Right.
This you can actually afford, and they ship it to your house. It's $45 a month. We got like fucking meat cleavers. We got a casket to age whiskey in.
A casket.
It might be a casket.
That's for, are you aging dead people with bourbon?
Maybe. Maybe.
You fill up a dead body with whiskey.
Yeah.
And then
let it age for a little bit. Let it stink in your house. No, but I get like a DOP kit. I get a fucking travel bag all for $45. You go on, you take a 5-question survey about who you are as a man. And they'll tell you, look, if you're a hipster, they're going to send you hipster shit. If you're a real fucking dude, you're going to get goddamn knives in the mail. That's the thing.
Is that the awkward thing when they switch up a package and I get like mustache wax and like fucking?
Yes, it is. It means you answered a question wrong, and they're like, "Hey, man, maybe you know less about yourself.
Maybe you answered."
And
the question
And I do not
want right,
to talk
though.
Shit about mustache wax because people have dope mustaches are awesome.
You had a fucking dope one for a while.
Yeah, but I'm probably going to bring it back, but I was thinking about like going on all the national news cycles, and I was like, probably shouldn't have like a fucking Wyatt Earp mustache. Yeah. I mean, I should, right? But, you know, you got to be a brand ambassador sometimes.
You do. But go to boxofawesome.com, promo code Drinking Bros off the first box. Last but not least, expressvpn.com/drinking bros. Protect your shit. There's crypto pirates out there that are worse than the Somali pirates in the Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah, and they could be wearing blackface, which is super offensive.
Yeah, so. And stealing all of your bank accounts.
Yeah, both of those things.
I'm all about the VPN life.
You are, aren't you?
You gotta have that proxy server, bro.
Oh yeah, Matt and I have used those overseas to look at some questionable material.
Oh, of course. Everybody knows. If you're in the middle, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't even Google fucking, like, you know, fuck GIF and then anything pop up.
Nothing.
So you're working that, like, 9-angle VPN to get a proxy server in, like, you know, wherever. And like, okay, I got the porn.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we used to use, me and my company commander back in the day used to have a fucking VPN account that we all used for social. I mean, like, you can't get on social media or anything.
Oh,
so we were using it for everything back then. Mostly porn, though.
Well, I will say this, because somebody said if you use expressvpn.com/drinking bros, you can watch porn at work. Is that true?
I'm not saying you should.
But you can.
Just saying,
you can.
Yeah.
It gives you the afternoon option. Go to Express.
But you have to know that whoever your IT specialist is, or if you have whoever's in charge, some people will actually know if you're running a VPN and they'll single you out. And that happened to me once with the agency. And the dude was really cool and liked me, but he's like, hey, man, you know it's against VPN rules to have, like, you know, oh, shit. Okay, my bad.
Really?
I guess I'm jacking off to the mirror.
Yeah. Go to expressvpn.com/drinkingbros today.
Going stale fish.
$7 a month. And if you sign up for a year, you get 3 for free. We all have it. Runs in the background of our hard top, desktop, fucking phones, iPads, you name it. We got some questions from the audience for you, Matt, about the whole process of your book tour.
And I've been drinking whiskey like heavy here, so I'm probably going to be a little tipsy by the end of the show.
Great. Then the first one, then, it's going to require your honesty because you're the only one that's met her. We got a question here that said, how hot is Tommy Lahren in real life? And is she worth the hype that everybody thinks?
So I'm going to be political in my response. I will say Tommy is, you know, attractiveness is a subjective statement. So it's completely based on what you think attractiveness is. She is, to me, is not a bad looking. She's very, just like she looks on camera, is very similar in real life. And what I will say about Tommy is I was thoroughly impressed with the interview that she gave me on No Interruptions. She was very fair and easygoing. And, you know, all you see about one person is their heightened sense of politics and all of that. But getting to know her just as a person was absolutely refreshing, and she was super cool, and I was impressed, because you see them on Fox and all the other things are like this, and you're like, oh man, are you just gonna yell at me all day? And then you like run into them in real life and you're like, oh, you're actually fucking cool, I could share a beer with you. So
cool. So she was down like that. She seems it, man.
She was cool.
I follow her on Instagram and I was like, yeah, she's like a Manhattan Beach girl. Like she seems like she's out, she does normal shit, and she's fun.
Yeah, she seems cool. And in a lot of hate she got, she handles it really well. She's like, she'll walk down the street and get like shit thrown at her and stuff. I'm like, damn, I feel bad for you, dude.
Are you serious?
Well, dude, I mean, come on. Anybody on the political spectrum that's hyper right or hyper left, you're going to have, you know, shit. A lot of outreach, I guess would be the way of saying that.
Yeah, yeah. The next question. Did you read the Fox News article regarding the Tommy Lahren thing? That it used one shitty line, but it was actually...
It was a clickbait title. You're talking about
yes.
What was the line?
A veteran trying to cash in Army, off of something.
It was Army Ranger and veteran entrepreneur responds to allegations of him saying profiting off of war and tragedy.
Yes, that's it.
Recollect that. Correct. Yeah.
I thought that was really shitty because it was a great interview and it had nothing to do with that.
To be expected, they're using my likeness, obviously, to get clickbait, and I put it out there. It's a fucking clickbait title, and I'll say that to the producers at Fox, even though everybody at Fox was insanely nice and welcoming to me, so I have to thank them for that. And it is what it is, and that's one of those things where it's like you can read the title, but if you actually go and listen to the content involved and the discussion involved, it's completely different. And that whole title was based off of a question that Tommy asked me in a very reverent way. She said, hey, what's your response to a lot of people that say veterans that start up veteran-owned businesses are looked in the light of them, you know, profiting off of their service? And I think my response was something in the regard of, you know, you went to Harvard University. That's obviously going to influence in you and your business acumen going forward. And just like being a veteran should, I'm not like, you know, using everything as a veteran to go forward, but that's something that I lived, you know, in carrying a gun professionally for 10 years. That's a part of me. It's who I am. So I have to be proud of that. And the worst thing we could ever do is tell veterans and people that serve their communities that you can't talk about that stuff. You can't compartmentalize all that experience. You have to use it to go forward and be successful in your next chapter in life.
Yeah, and that was because when I saw that article, obviously it was shared a bunch of times, and people, you know, look, everybody came to your defense and was like, fuck you, Matt Best is, you know, and Black Rifle and Drinking Bros have done more for, you know, the veteran community than anyone. Why use that title? I just thought that was the only one that I thought was really shitty. And
they
I was
just
like,
want to play well, the us but, versus them bullshit. That's all it is. Yeah. And really, there's nothing in our brain that resonates with. We never think of that as us versus them.
But let's challenge thought here, guys, right? So if people take the actual effort to listen to the interview based off of a clickbait title, then there might be some more awareness about pro-veteran entrepreneurship, whereas if they said, successful Matt Best crushes everything in life, or whatever the fuck they could say, people are probably not going to click on that. But they see that, and then hopefully that message and that content involved in that could be the good thing to happen. So maybe there is some silver lining that with a fucking kind of weird, awkward, shitty title, people actually got to listen to the content.
Yeah, yeah. You're always a glass half full type of guy, and that's fuck the honest to God's truth, man. Next up, what was it like meeting Sean Hannity? How is he behind the scenes?
I mean, I've met Hannity like 7 times, so.
We posted the picture in Drinking Bros, so everybody was like, "No way, we didn't know." Like, what's his story behind the scenes?
Dude, I like Hannity. He was super busy and was dealing with some stuff this time, but my previous engagements with him have been nothing but positive. He is like a fucking massive veteran and military supporter. The guy like goes out of his way to support people, and you know, I'm not a political guy, so like whatever political conversation goes on, I'm not a part of. But I will say the dude's got a really good heart, and he has been absolutely amazing to us. And I love Hannity. Like, we'll use him as a sponsor for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've gotten a lot of hate that back. Like, oh, you fucking support Sean Hannity. I'll fucking fuck your company. I'm like, whatever, dude. Like, the guy's supporting a veteran-owned, veteran-operated business and caring about people that went and fucking fought a war and saw people die. Like, he's good in my book when it comes to that, you know?
Yeah, man. He just seems like a cool, like fucking down to earth dude. Because the picture was, it looked like he was just hanging out in a t-shirt too, just chilling. I was like, oh shit, I don't think I've seen him outside of a suit.
And he does a shit ton of mixed martial arts. He's like, dude, you gotta come by and do some Aikido in my fucking house. I'm like, whoa, you're crazy awesome, dude.
Really?
Yeah, dude, he does like mixed martial arts and all this shit, man. Yeah, he's a cool dude.
I actually know some people that are pretty far left that have worked for him in production up in New York before, and even they say that he's a super nice guy. It's kind of weird. They're like, yeah, he's not like his on-camera persona in real life at all.
That's funny, man. Yeah. I remember when Marcus Luttrell was on the show, when we were asking him who's a surprising friend, he said Anderson Cooper from CNN. And, you know, shit, man, there is, you're able to separate job and people and all that other shit as long as you're a cool guy in real life. So it's totally possible.
That, like, and everybody can have disagreeing beliefs. It's about like sustaining and maintaining your perspective on life and hopefully influencing people to think about the goodness that you have in your own heart. And I mean, I'm probably hopefully going to do this with my media tour, but like there's a lot of late night shows that we have probes out that are interested in having me on. And while we might disagree on a lot of things like firearms and politics, at least we can come together and have a fun, entertaining moment together, you know?
That's actually the next question. Somebody asked if Matt Best was going to be on Trevor Noah and do The Daily Show.
Oh, shit. Whew. I'll go on Trevor. I mean, that would be a very probably heightened, aggressive interview. I'd rather go on, like, Fallon, because then we could, like, hit each other with eggs and shit and have fun.
Right.
But Trevor Noah, I mean, I don't know if you saw the one with Tommy and him, but that one went fucking sideways real quick. And not that I'm a political commentator, but
it did. And that the interesting thing about it was they later aired an unedited version of their conversation that went probably around 35 minutes, and you can find it out there on like YouTube. And it was actually very thoughtful. The problem was you have to cut it down to an 8-minute segment for The Daily Show. Yeah. And they fucking threw her under the bus on that. And I actually thought it seemed like Trevor Noah was a pretty reasonable dude to her for that 35 minutes, but that 8-minute segment their producer cut was shit to me. But I think you'd be great on there, actually. If there's one person who could speak about, you know, especially with the most recent shooting in Odessa and all that stuff, like, I think it would be you, and it would be really interesting to see you go on that show, I think.
I don't know about that statement, but I will say I will never turn down an opportunity to share my message and what I believe in as far as like our community and where I want to take my own personal life and my mission. So, I mean, I'll fucking go on The View. Like, I don't care. People can attack me all day, but I'm just going to kill them with kindness. Like, and that's what I have to do in this world. Like, a bunch of fucking assholes, you know? So I'm gonna be cool me, man.
Yeah.
And that's not, I'm not saying like I don't know how to hurt people. Like, I got a fucking light switch. Like, I obviously fucking train way knowing how to shoot fucking people in the face to sound douchey, but like, you know, I'm here to just spread some love and build the community. That's it.
Next question. Aubrey Marcus, did Matt name the coffee Fuck Yeah? Was that your idea, or was that Mark your Aubrey's? Marcus Aubrey from On It.
Aubrey Jesus. Marcus.
Yeah. It's a lot of Aubrey words.
Ah. Look, I've been drinking.
And you're a New York Times bestselling author?
Here's what happened. Oh, let's be realsies about it, because it's on camera right here. Killcliff. No, I'll be totally real about it. Killcliff came out with a can of CBD. Dead serious. Killcliffcbd.com. They're a new sponsor. It is 25 milligrams in a can, and holy shit, do you feel relaxed on this goddamn shit.
They're supposed to send me some, actually.
I feel it kicking in. Problem was, so they were on the show, and they're a sponsor. They sold out in like, 48 hours?
I think it was like 12 seconds. I don't know.
If you have this, you're the most relaxed you'll ever be in your entire life.
Oh, yeah.
But
yes, it's really good.
Did you come up with Fuck Yeah Coffee? Was that you?
Oh, man, I can't take sole credit for that. I think what happened, I believe, and I don't really remember, it was Aubrey, us, and Evan on the phone, and we were all talking about what we should name the coffee, and we're like, fuck yeah, dude, we're so excited about this, and we all kept saying, fuck yeah. And then I think Aubrey was probably the one like, should we just call it Fuck Yeah? And we're like, fuck yeah! And Dan, maybe you have some insight, because you were part of that deal back in the day, but that was a year ago, so I forget. But that's one of those things, man. No one ever takes credit for one individual thing in the company. It's just like a conglomeration of very talented, creative people, and then we find the best idea and run with that.
Yeah. So you guys, what do you guys go through?
God,
the whole
I sound
team?
Like a politician the way.
No,
I
it's
talk
like
these days.
What
the fuck?
You're too used to other interviews. It's fucking drinking, bros, man.
It's like everybody starts throwing out random ideas, and then somebody says, "Yeah, that sounds good," and somebody adds 20% to it, and we're like, "Oh shit, that's it right there."
I like the bag too. Who did the bag? The bag is cool.
That was all on it, to be honest with you, because we're joking about, you know, that 80s, 90s retro kind of vibe. And they came back, and I said that on Aubrey's podcast. I was like, that's probably the first thing that's come across the brand department that I run that I've been like, oh, we don't really need to change anything on that. That's fucking awesome. It's fuck yeah.
So, yeah, there's a good chance Aubrey was on ayahuasca when he came up with that one.
Yeah.
He's, good chance.
They did dope ass commercials for that shit, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Skateboard commercials. It's rad.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen them. Where are they online?
Yeah.
They're on it, yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'll check it out.
See? You fucking said it.
Exactly. I'm already saying the brand already. Yep. That's great. And where do you buy that off of Black Rifle?
Right now on it. They have that in the MCT oil, which is their only mocha MCT oil, which is their best flavor. Aubrey said it himself. And so, yeah.
Jesse loves that shit. My wife loves that shit.
That's rad.
That's fucking awesome. Next question. What was it like going on Fighter and the Kid? You were actually on there before, too, once before. How are those guys in real life was the question.
Well, Shab and I are homies, man. You know, Shab is Shab. I know he gets a lot of back and forth. The guy's a good dude. He just probably shouldn't talk about things he doesn't know, like firearms. But I love Brennan to death. We obviously do coffee with him through Black Rifle Coffee. And Brian Callen, man, I can't speak highly of that guy. Like, he's so intelligent, so funny, fucking awesome. I mean, I love those guys. So it was a pleasure having me on the podcast. And I know some people were like giving them shit for not letting me talk as much, but you know, I probably talked too much on Drinking Bros. So
no, I saw that, but it's like, dude, it's three fast, funny guys having a conversation. Like, yeah, it happens, you know?
Yeah, it was a good show, man. I'd be back there on there anytime. And honestly, I like Schaub's comedy. I went to see him in Austin like 7 months ago. He caught me some tickets, and I wasn't sure how he's going to be. I'm like, oh, it's your friend. You hope he's funny. And it was for me, it was a really funny show. So I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of dates around the country right now. He just did a Showtime special.
Yeah.
1 hour Showtime special. Yeah. Next question. You guys were hanging out with Dan Crenshaw. What is Dan Crenshaw like in real life?
I can't answer that question because I didn't go up there. I had other media stuff that I was doing. So Jared.
Oh, you're out of that one.
Went.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't get lunch. I heard Dan's a great guy. I know some people dispute certain political things that he discusses, and I could probably have my own opinion as well. But no, I haven't met him. I heard he's a really cool dude, though. So
here's a question that I have about that, because I saw Evan hit him with the coffee stamp. What the fuck is going on with Evan and this goddamn coffee stamp? First of all, who got it for him? Was it him? And if so,
yeah, of course he bought that shit.
Yeah, he's just like attacking people. It's like old school fucking like Bam Margera style with the hair clippers.
Yeah,
but he's sneaking up on people and stamping the word coffee on their neck and head.
He did it to Dan Crenshaw?
He did it on his hand, yeah. Yeah. Like, you know he's an elected member of Congress, Evan. He's like,
which
yeah,
hand did he do it on? Because he probably wouldn't see it if it was on the other one, right?
Jesus.
No, he's cool Jesus. Like that. He's cool like that. He was wearing sunglasses with Jared. I think that's why people ask. Because there was a cool picture with him and Jared, and it was just like, man, he seems like a good guy. Graham Allen was on the show, and he also said Dan Crenshaw was a pretty good guy as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So people were asking about that. And then the last question was, because everybody's asking this, how can other people franchise a Black Rifle Coffee, and are you doing that?
Yes. The franchise program, and I know, thank you for being patient, people. You know, Tom Davin, our co-CEO, has built the model. We have the model. And now we're doing a couple rollouts to see how it works, and because we want to set people up for success. So I know there's been discussion about the Burney, Texas location, which is actually not a franchise. That is a licensing agreement as far as the brand goes, which opens September 28th in Burney, Texas, which is between kind of Austin and San Antonio. Welcome to come down. It'll be a party. It'll be fun. Ross and Dan will be there.
Yep. We'll be doing live
shows. We're closing down the whole street and having a fucking party out there, man.
Yeah, they're closing down the street for it. So it'll be a blast. Come on out.
Yeah, like, there's gonna be like fucking SWAT cars out there, and all these like I think like a tank is gonna be there and shit. Like let's they're bringing out the not to like protect anything, just
no, just for fun,
fucking entertainment.
Yeah, let's taser each other. Do you want to?
Yeah, I'll get tased live on air. What are we talking about?
You get tased, really?
Yeah, is it the one with the hooks or the one with the
with the hooks?
What's the difference? Explain it to me.
Because a stun gun is the one with the arc.
Right, and I've been stunned with one of those.
That's not a stun gun. It's still a taser. I was a goddamn taser instructor.
Taser stands for Thomas A. Swift Electric Rifle.
Okay.
That's what it stands for. It's the one with the prongs. But, yeah, they're both technically tasers. They just deliver a lot of electricity into your body.
How does the hooks...
So the hooks, leave a you mark? Have a cartridge, right? If you take the cartridge off, you have, it's called a dry stun, yeah. Drive stun, one of those two. I'm old.
Those are pretty fun.
But those hurt. It's just pain compliance, essentially. We used to shock each other all the fucking time with those. That's too easy. If you get pronged, anybody that's been tased knows it locks up your muscular system. So the better separation you have in the prongs, it shoots an electric current through that, which locks up your whole muscles, and you can't do anything, and it's hyper painful, and you tend to make like... sounds and some weird shit.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely not doing that.
It's well, the way I did it in training, but I've never actually been shot with one because you need an EMT on deck because you got to like pull the fucking. It's like a little. It's a straight fish hook, basically.
I mean, I got you. Oof. I used to be an EMT. Just I let my national registry expire.
Oh well, so just
that's cool.
Get a pair of pliers. It's fine.
Yeah, you just rip it out.
What we did was we would deploy the cables and then attach one to your collar and one to your belt.
Okay.
And then just fucking light your ass up, right? So you want to get into the two muscle groups. It is the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. But when it's over, it's immediately done. Like, I didn't feel anything afterwards. So it's
really?
Not,
and how do they take the hooks out? With pliers?
Usually an EMT takes it out with pliers.
Oof. Yeah, no thanks. We're going to be opening up a coffee store. I don't want to.
Well, you already agreed to it, bitch, so it's too late now.
No, I mean, I'll go with the classic taser. You can just run up, you know, and just...
Well, Matt's right, though. In infantry team rooms across America right now, people are getting tased for no reason, just because it's fun and we're bored. That's a real thing.
They were doing it on Jackass as well.
Yeah. Those tasers are always fun for like fucking 15 minutes, and then you keep trying to like lay down and someone tases you in the back of the neck, and then you're just like, I'm gonna start fucking fist fighting people if you touch me with that thing, dude. Yep.
Are you done with the tour now? That was another one. Sorry, a bonus question. Are you all done, or are they lining up more stuff?
Not through the publisher right now, but my goal is to do some epic, probably incorporate Drinking Bros, Black Rifle Coffee, and hit some really cool places across the nation and do book signings and make it more entertainment-based rather than just sitting in line for 3 hours to get a photo and a signature. So, like, I'm planning to do one in Savannah, Georgia, down at Nine Line and some other place. I think Tactical Shit wants to do one. So we'll kind of... structure it around that.
No, like we should do
the last location.
You should come out to Army Navy in Philly with us.
Oh, yes. The Army Navy game, man. That'd be a blast.
I think that's like December 6th or 7th or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say I'm going to go and then cancel last minute like I always do.
That's right. You were supposed to come to Army Navy last year.
I was.
It was 18 degrees. Jared.
Oh, it was rough.
Jared was able to make it through the show, and then he hightailed it out of there. He was like, this is way too fucking cold.
And I think you and I left like midway through the second quarter because it was the most boring bullshit I've ever seen in my life, and we were freezing to death.
Yeah. No, the game was great. Seeing all that up close and personal was wild, and I think, didn't they induct like people in, like some...
There were some people inducted in. The president was there. I think Mattis was there too.
Mattis was there as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the other thing, Matt, is your... I think your book also came out at the perfect time. Because like I told you, they'll spring like these last minute Washington books on you and you'll get fucked by it. Did you see Mattis has a book coming out?
I did. What is it called?
I forget. It's like a really like professional, like, you know,
It's not called Murdering Hippies.
No, it should be. It should be. But
I thought it came out already. Did it not?
It might. I think it might be tomorrow, actually. And okay. When I saw that, I was like, "Ooh, thank God we weren't up against that one."
Because... It's Call Sign Chaos: Learning to Lead.
Call Sign Chaos. There it is.
Yeah, and it actually comes out tomorrow. So. Man, that would have...
Yeah, and you can't fuck with Mattis, dude. Like, I'm a nobody compared to him.
Yeah, he just knocked you off of... speaking of which, I just pulled it up on Amazon. He knocked you off of every military category with that one.
Boom. Yeah. Go Mattis. I'm cool with that. I'm sure it's a good story.
I'm sure, man. I'll be curious what he has to say about working with Trump and all those guys. Because, you know, from what I heard, he pretty much keeps to himself. I'm surprised he has a book, actually.
I don't know, man.
That's a cool thing to do these days, apparently.
It is.
I'm not a Navy SEAL, and I wrote a book and made a movie. So, fucking A. Anything's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Was this Call Sign Chaos?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
He doesn't fuck around, man. Like, all the... He's like Chesty Puller. Like, all the stories you hear about him, they're... Like, our buddy... Patch, he worked on his PSD for a while. Like, all the stories you hear about that guy are true. He's a legit guy. They call him the warrior monk for a reason.
This will be the next one, then. I bet he doesn't do his own audiobook, though.
No.
He should
definitely
get...
You're not getting General Mattis to do that, bro.
Who should he get to do the audiobook? Like, Eddie Murphy or something?
Could you imagine?
It would be so much funnier instead of going...
Well, what if I read it? Like, maybe I'll have a career in narrating, like, epic, iconic figures in our generation.
There you go.
And I'll read them in a Deadpool, sarcastic, Matt Best fucking douchebag tone.
Oh, could you imagine?
As I told President Trump, I killed all the ISIS.
I guarantee you
he's been in very professional meetings and he's probably uttered something to the effect of, why don't we just kill these motherfuckers? I guarantee you, based on what I've heard about him from people that have worked closely with him, I guarantee you he said that behind closed doors. I would love to see that.
You know what that statement reminds me of, Dan, is like when you're probing your chick or your wife, you're like, I mean, we could have a threesome. You're like, where you want to do it, right? But like you just don't want to, like, you say it in that sarcastic, like, I mean, we could just kill him. Yeah, dude, we can't do that. Oh, yeah. No, I was like, just, it was hyperbole. I was just, you know, making a, but seriously, like, in a fantasy, think about it. Might be fun.
I can see Mattis in a meeting and he's trying to downplay how badly he wants to kill everything. He's just like, I guess we could do that. I mean, shit.
We could just go in and slaughter the mission statement and win the hearts and minds of everybody.
Like, how many bombs have we got? How many bombs? yeah, it should be enough. We'll be all right.
It should be fine.
Gonna drop 6,000 bombs on this one square mile.
Wait, who's in charge? I am the sec def. So how many bombers do we have?
Oof. We're at the point in the show where we have the drinking bro of the week. Anybody you would like to give the drinking bro of the week to, Matt Best, now that you were number one in the world?
I am going to give it to my mother.
Yay. That's
awesome.
And
that wasn't planned. No, I do want to say this. Like, it's been crazy, man. My mom is a hyper-conservative woman, and she's been a good mom for sure. And she has put up with my shit publicly and supports me, especially in the release of this book, and I've seen her be defensive to other people. It's amazing. So the fact that she supports my journey unconditionally, even though I know it goes against a lot of her belief systems as far as the amount that I use the word fuck and the amount that I've been an active shooter with my penis in women's vaginas, and publicly narrated that for the world to see forever. She is a hero in my book, and I love that we can see past the differences in our growing up and lifestyles and come together as a family. And I wish more people had the ability to do that. So cheers to you, Mom. I love you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to steal that active shooter line with your penis and not give you any credit for it.
Perfect.
I'm taking that forever. And then lastly, man, we said, dude, if we hit number one, we'd let you play your favorite song of all time at the end of the show. What is it? You got one choice. It was a Stevie Ray Vaughan song, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Little Wing. It is my favorite song of all time. There's no lyrics, but I advise you, this wasn't planned. I'm just being quick, but, I advise you to maybe smoke some weed or take a nice shot of whiskey, sit on the couch and have 6 to 8 minutes, whatever it is, of absolute iconic creative justice.
Yes. Cheers. Cheers. So we're going to play that right now. Matt, thanks for letting me help you out with this. It's been a fucking blast, man. And look, we'll see how far this thing goes, man.
No, and I'll give a thanks to you guys, man. Ross, thank you so much for your process and you know, all the time we took writing the initial manuscript and all the hours we spent together and then the refining process. You were sending email every single week to the DOD. Dan, thank you so much for reading my book in a very thoughtful way and giving me productive feedback. So you guys are great. Keep doing what you're doing. I know you're an inspiration to a lot. So fuck yeah, guys.
Hey, we love you, buddy. We'll see you in 2 weeks on the cruise and then 3 weeks on the opening at Black Rifle. So come out to Burney, Texas and join us. We're going to play it out with Stevie Ray Vaughan, Little Wing.